I want to welcome all of you here in celebration, Crosswalk, and at Greenacre South, and invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. This is actually the last message in the series, and it's entitled, Every Scar Has a Story. Well, you know, I remember I heard a funny joke one time about a guy that went to buy a horse, and the owner said, well, this is a religious horse, and it doesn't pay any attention to normal commands. You don't say, giddy up and let's go. You say, praise the Lord, and that's the only thing that makes him go. And the only thing that makes him stop is when you say, amen. So this guy took him for a test ride, you know, and he said, giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go. And the horse didn't move, and the guy said, remember, he's a religious horse. So the guy said, praise the Lord, and that horse just took off, I mean, galloping across the pasture there, and it was going too fast, and it was heading toward a cliff, and so the guy wanted the horse to stop. He said, whoa, stop, cease, desist, but the horse just kept on running. He couldn't remember what that word was. He thought he was going to lose his life, and so he started praying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He got to the end, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen. And when he said amen, that horse screeched in the edge, right on the edge of the cliff. The guy said, praise the Lord. I kind of feel like that as we come to the end of Galatians, that like some of you, we reach the amen, or some of you saying, praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord that I've learned so much, or praise the Lord that we're moving on to something else. But, you know, the message that we've learned from Galatians is that it's all about grace. I mean, the book of Galatians is about grace. In fact, it starts with grace and it ends with grace. You remember the very first sentence in the book of Galatians was chapter 1, verse 3, peace to you from God, grace and peace to you from God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very last sentence of the book is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And what we've learned is that the definition of grace is God giving us what we need, that is forgiveness, not what we deserve, punishment. You see, the formula for salvation for grace is this, Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. But you know, there were some legalists in this church, and they were teaching, no, it's Jesus plus obeying rules, following rituals equals salvation. And that's why Paul wrote this letter. He was so upset about these people who'd come in and were trying to misdirect the believers away from grace. And so that's why he had to write this letter that says, don't stray from the grace way. We come to the end of this letter, and Paul refers to something very personal. He refers to some marks that he has on his body. And we're going to learn that every scar tells a story. So I invite you to stand with me as we read Galatians 6, beginning in verse 14. Once again, read that verse we talked about last week. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. And then he says, you know what? From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body, literally in my body, the marks of Jesus. And then he ends by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you that grace has nothing to do with who we are or what we deserve. It has everything to do with who you are and how you love us. Today, Lord, help us to understand what it means to suffer for you and have a testimony of scars to show that we're a disciple of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, these Judaizers, these false teachers, were saying, you know what, guys, you got to have spiritual surgery. You got to have circumcision if you really want to go to heaven. And Paul is basically saying, you know what, you guys are so obsessed with some kind of physical mark on your body. Well, guess what? I have some marks that trump your marks. I bear in my body. And here's the word he uses, the word stigmata. He said, I bear on my body the marks. And it's the word stigmata of Jesus. Now, that's what the word stigmata means. It means a scar. It means a wound. It means a mark. Now, if you Google that word today, you'll find that in the Roman Catholic tradition, there are those throughout history who claimed that they had the wounds of Christ that appeared on their hands and feet. St. Francis of Assisi was the first who claimed to have the stigmata of Christ, but there's nothing about that in the Bible. The word stigmata was just a common non-religious word that had to do with like a brand that was on an animal, or a tattoo on somebody's body to identify as a badge of identity. That's all it meant. So Paul says, you know what? I have some scars. I have some marks in my body. And they give a story of my commitment to Jesus Christ. So let's learn a little bit about scars today. First of all, scars tell the stories of our pain. You know, I really do believe that every scar tells a story. I can remember as a child growing up at an early age watching my dad take off his shirt to go swimming or to change shirts and seeing on his lower right back this terrible burn scar. And I said, Daddy, what's that from? What's that about? When did you get that? And he would tell me the story about World War II for the liberation of the Philippine Islands when his ship was sunk and when he was swimming through the water and the water was literally on fire from the gasoline from the sinking ship and how he was burned. And I never got tired of hearing him tell the story of that scar. And think about it, every scar tells a story. And you know, there are two kinds of scars. First of all, there are, as we all know, physical scars. And unless you have lived a very, very sheltered, safe life, you probably have some scars on your body. Maybe you have a scar from a surgery or a scar from an injury. In fact, through the years as a pastor, I've visited in the hospital thousands of times and probably hundreds of times. I've gone into the coronary care unit after someone has just had their chest split open. And there are those of you listening to me right now that you have a scar down the center of your chest as a testimony of open heart surgery. And you know, that was not a fun experience, was it? I mean, it was not a pleasant experience. The doctor had to hurt you in order to heal you. But that scar tells a story in your life. Every scar tells a story. I've got lots of scars on my body. You can't really see it, but I have a pretty bad scar underneath the bottom of my chin. And it's one of my first memories as a child. My mother was at home, sick in bed. She had just given birth to my younger brother. And so I was probably only about 4 years old, and I wanted to do something for my mother to make her feel better. And so I went out in the backyard and picked a couple of handfuls of her flowers, which she probably didn't like, and I wanted to take her some flowers. And I was running into our house, and I was climbing up the concrete steps that led to our back door, and there were about 7 or 8 concrete steps, and I lost my balance and stumbled, and I found myself falling toward those concrete steps. And you know, my little childish mind, I had to make a quick decision. Am I going to let go of the flowers and catch myself? Or am I going to hang on to these flowers for my mother? I made the wrong choice. I hung on to the flowers and I literally took it on the chin and split my chin open and had to have stitches, as many of you have before. And there are times throughout my life as I was growing up that my mother would point to that scar and we would talk about the time that I was taking flowers to her. Every scar tells a story, and the scars on your body all tell stories. And that's what Paul is talking about. He said, you know what? As I've been preaching the gospel, I've had to encounter some punishment, some persecution, and there are scars on my body. What was he talking about? Well, we know from Acts chapter 14 that when Paul was in a city named Lystra, the Jews were so angry at him that they took him outside the city and they stoned him. They stoned him. In fact, let me just read to you what it says in Acts 14, verse 19. It says, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Listen, stoning was not a corporal punishment. It was capital punishment. And when the Jews stoned somebody, it was to kill them, to execute them, like they did Stephen. It required that you push someone off a ledge taller than the height of a man, and you took these huge boulders and rocks that took two hands to throw, and they would repeatedly stone the person being executed until they were dead. And they thought Paul was dead, or else they wouldn't have stopped stoning him. In fact, there are some commentators that say that maybe Paul actually died that day. You know, he did brag later about having a vision of the third heaven. We'll never know till we get up to heaven and say, Paul, did you die from that stoning? God might have raised him from the dead. But we do know that he bore in his body the scars from that awful stoning. Can you imagine how he looked after that? He must have had some hideous wounds. And then later in Acts chapter 16, when he and Silas were arrested in Philippi, the Bible says a Roman soldier beat them Now listen, you probably heard that the Jews, when they would beat someone, that was their corporal punishment. They were restricted to hitting them 40 times. And so they would always stop on 39 just in case they miscounted. They didn't want to break the law. But these weren't Jews beating Paul. These were the Romans, and they had no limits. And so Paul's back was bared, and his hands were tied up to a whipping post. And one or two Roman soldiers stood on either side with a cat of nine tails and took turns coming across his back. And there were pieces of lead and pieces of glass and rock in the ends of those leather thongs. And there are even accounts of people dying from a Roman scourging. And there were several times in Paul's ministry that he endured the whipping of a Roman soldier. Can you imagine the scars that he must have had in his body? And so as these people in Galatia were talking about, you know, you got to be circumcised. He said, you know what? I've got marks that trump your mark. I bear in my body the stigmata, the physical scars of Jesus. But, you know, there are also emotional scars, not only physical scars, but emotional scars. And we all know that not everyone who comes back from combat has physical scars, but they may be suffering emotional wounds and scars from the post-traumatic stress of that. And maybe you've come through a bad, dysfunctional relationship and you got out of it and you're bearing the wounds of that. Maybe you've gone through a tough experience in life. And we all know that there are invisible wounds that are just as painful. And sometimes they're more painful because you can't see them and you can't put stitches in them. In fact, there's a Christian psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Maxwell Maltz that I was reading. And he writes, every hurtful word said by someone you look up to, every humiliating episode, every mistake that you wish you could just forget tends to stay in your mind. If those past experiences are constantly dwelt upon, constantly relived in vivid detail to the point where you actually start feeling the same emotions as before, then you may experience some serious emotional scars. And you know what happens to a physical wound if you don't treat it, if you don't clean it, if you don't dress it? It can become infected and it can stay open. And the same thing is true with emotional wounds. You can't ignore them. And if there are some emotional wounds in your life that haven't healed over, my advice to you is to seek Christian counseling. And that's why we have our Grace Works ministry, which is a group of kind, compassionate, trained, certified people to help you deal with emotional wounds of your life. So we all know that there are scars, physical scars, emotional scars. What else do we learn about scars? Well, number two, scars may be signs of our sacrifice. They may be signs of our service and sacrifice. Because I know whenever my dad would tell the story of the scar on his back, the burn scar, I would think about how brave he was, just like all the others in that greatest generation who were willing to go and fight against Germany and against Japan. And to me, that was a badge of honor that he wore on his back, a sign of his sacrifice. And for the Apostle Paul, it was the same thing too. You know, during the 20th century, there was a great spiritual giant among us who was actually right here in East Texas that many of us consider to be a 20th century prophet. His name was Leonard Ravenhill. He was actually from England, but in the 1950s, he moved to the States and started a ministry as an evangelist, Bible teacher, and author. And he spent his last days right out here in Garden Valley, Texas. And he's actually buried out there where he mentored people like Keith Green and like David Wilkerson. And he's buried out there next to Keith Green. And he has some of the greatest writings I've ever read. And in one of his books, he's talking about this passage, the stigmata of Christ. And you know what the title of the chapter is? It's called Branded for Christ. And I love what he says. He says, look closely at Paul. At that cadaverous countenance, that scarred body, that stooped figure of a man chastened by hunger, kept down by fasting, plowed with the lictor's lash, that little body brutally stoned at Lystra, that skin pickled for 36 hours in the Mediterranean Sea, finally count in the 199 stripes, 3 shipwrecks, 3 beatings with rods, a stoning, a prison record, and deaths so many that count is lost. And yet if one could add it up, all must be written off as nothing because Paul himself wrote, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul, what are the meaning of those scars? I mean, tell us the story of those scars in your body. Tell us the story of that stoning. Tell us the story of that beating. What do those scars mean? Well, I think that the scars that he had to endure and that sometimes we have to endure point to three different directions. Number one, it could be the mark of ownership. The mark of ownership, because we know from ancient history that sometimes slaves were actually branded with the name of their owner, especially if they escaped and were brought back, they would sometimes be branded by the owner. So if they escaped again, they could be identified. And you know, here we are from Texas. We understand what it is to brand cattle. In fact, today, a lot of ranchers have ear tags that have computer chips in them, but they still do branding where they take a hot iron and they press it into the side of a cow. So if that cow wanders away, that steer wanders to another ranch, they can identify it. In fact, I heard a funny story about a guy from up north who bought a ranch, and somebody said, "Well, what's the name of your ranch?" And he said, "Well, we couldn't decide what to name it. I wanted to name it the Bar J. My wife wanted to name it the Susie Q. My son wanted to name it the Flying W. And my daughter wanted to name it the Lazy Y. So we named it the Bar Q, Susie Q, Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y Ranch. And you should see the size of that brand." And the guy said, "Well, how many cattle do you have?" He said, "Well, none have survived the branding yet." By the way, no animals were harmed in the telling of that joke. We know what it is to brand somebody, to identify them. In fact, you know, the fastest segment of growing churches in Texas are called cowboy churches. Have you heard of cowboy churches? And I'm not talking about the Jerry Dome over in Dallas, that cowboy church where thousands of people will gather today to worship their small g god. I'm talking about cowboy churches where there's hay and people wear their boots and jeans and hats and where the gospel is preached. In fact, one of my favorite names of some of these cowboy churches is this, the Cross Brand Cowboy Church. In fact, there's a Cross Brand Cowboy Church up near I-20 that our church supports. And I love that name because it's the idea of how these followers of Jesus said, we have the cross branded in our hearts, in our lives. And so a stigmata can be the sign of ownership. And you know what? We belong to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. So Paul says, you know what these marks indicate? They indicate my owner. I'm a slave to Jesus. But there's another meaning. Secondly, they could be the mark of loyalty. The mark of loyalty. And this is the picture of a soldier. Now, we've all heard of Alexander the Great, who by the age of 32 had conquered the known world. In fact, Alexander wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. What you might not have known, that he engendered such loyalty from his soldiers that they would wear on their hand, either tattooed or branded, the Greek letter Alpha for Alexander. They were proud to show their loyalty to their general by having their hands tattooed or branded with Alpha. I guess you might say they were the original A-team. But that was their way of saying, you know what? We love our general. We follow our general. We pledge our allegiance to the death to our general. You know, in the legend of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, what they would do, they would sit around and they would recount the stories of the battles and the bravery. And the knights who stood closest to the king, where the battle was the hottest, they would wear the battle scars, and they would proudly show their battle scars because they loved their king. But in these stories, there were also some what I call warrior wannabes who bore no battle wounds. They were too scared to be scarred, you might say. And they were not proud of the fact that they bore no battle scars for their king. And you know, I think it's true today that there are some believers who are so afraid of the spiritual warfare that they are too scared to be scarred. And they do not stand close to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the heat of the battle we're facing today. And so there are no battle wounds. There are no battle scars because some Christians are afraid to go into the heat of the battle. You know, there was a great missionary who ministered in India for 55 years without ever coming back. She's from Ireland. Her name is Amy Carmichael. She was a very famous missionary. I loved the Lord. And she was also a Christian poet. And there's one of the poems that she wrote that talks about battle scars for Jesus. And it's been such a blessing to my life. And in this poem, she has Jesus asking the question, "No wound, no scar, yet as the master shall the servant be. And pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar?" And then she responded, "Captain beloved, battle wounds were thine. Let me not wonder if some hurt be mine. Rather, O Lord, let my deep wonder be that I may share a battle wound with thee." Let me just ask you, are there any battle scars in your life because you stood so close to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the heat of the battle that people hated you the way they hated Jesus? So you know what? Stigmata can be a mark of ownership. That's a picture of a slave. It can be the mark of loyalty, the picture of a soldier. But number three, it is also the mark of identity. And this is a picture of Jesus, the Savior. Now, why do you think Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of Jesus"? Why didn't he say, "I bear in my body the marks of persecution, the marks of punishment, the marks of stoning"? Why did he say, "I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of Jesus"? You know why? Because he was painfully aware, and I use that word carefully, he was painfully aware that the wounds that he suffered were wounds that the Lord Jesus suffered. In fact, Paul said, you know, part of my calling is to identify with the suffering of Jesus. You know, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is a powerful verse where Paul said, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." You say amen to that. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of the resurrection. But look at the next statement. "And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." You know, I strongly suspect that when they bared Paul's back at Philippi, and when they tied his hands to that whipping post, and as those Roman soldiers came down with that cat of nine tails, don't you think Paul was thinking about, they did this to Jesus? This is what Jesus suffered before they crucified him. Roman soldiers did to him what they're doing to me right now, and I am sharing in the fellowship of the suffering of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this beating that I can share a little bit of what Jesus must have suffered. Is that your attitude? I have another scar that you can hardly see. It's between the fingers of my right hand. I was mentioning at Webb's on Wednesday night that a couple of summers when I was in high school, I worked at a sawmill on the green chain, where the green cut splintered lumber came off a chain that kept rolling, and you had to pull the lumber off and stack it up. It was a great incentive for me to get a college education. And I wore these thick canvas workhorse gloves, and one day I wasn't paying much attention, and as I grabbed one of those boards, there was a long splinter about 6 inches long, sharp as a nail, and it just punctured right through that glove and went down in my hand until it penetrated the middle of my hand between my fingers about 3 inches. And it broke off, and some of it was sticking out, and about 3 inches of it was in my hand. And I screamed because it hurt. And they stopped the green chain. The foreman put me in his pickup truck, took me to the doctor, and I can remember sitting out there in the doctor's office waiting for the doctor to come and remove it, literally moaning with pain. I'm just a high school kid, but I'm already in love with Jesus, planning on being a preacher, and all of a sudden this thought struck me. Hey, this is killing me, but this must have been a little bit of what it was like when they pounded nails through the hands of Jesus. Wow, Jesus. You mean this is sort of what it felt like? You know what? And in that moment, I think I did what Paul was talking about. I shared in the suffering of Jesus. And you know what? It may not be a physical pain. Because you know what the definition of the word stigma is today? Where we get the word stigmata? What does it mean today? A stigma is a mark of disgrace or infamy, a stain or reproach on one's reputation. And let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in America today, they may not be tying us to posts and whipping us yet. But if you stand up for Jesus Christ today in our culture, there's going to be a stigma attached to your name. There is growing hostility toward the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own land because of what we believe concerning the biblical rights of unborn children and what we believe about the definition of marriage from the Bible. We are increasingly under attack, and you've got to be willing to bear the stigma of saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I don't care where our culture is going, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And if you do that, you will be stigmatized today. But you know what? You should bear that stigma as a mark, a badge of honor, just like my dad wore that scar on his back as a badge of honor, and just like the Apostle Paul bore those scars in his body as a badge of honor. It identifies me with my Savior. And guess what? They hated him. They criticized him. They nailed him to a cross. And Jesus said, the world will hate you because the world hated me. Prepare to be stigmatized. One other thing here. Number three, scars remind us, praise God, that God can heal our wounds. God can heal our wounds. I can remember asking my dad, Dad, does that scar still hurt? He says, no, son. It hurt when it happened. It was painful, but you know what? It doesn't hurt anymore. I remember the story behind how it happened, but it no longer pains me. And by the way, you know what? A scar is a good thing because a scar is a testimony that God has healed a wound. And God is the one that does heal our scars, both physically and emotionally. I love this promise from Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. God says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, stigmatized, Zion, for whom no one cares. You know, someone has said that time heals all wounds. I think somebody older with bad feet said time wounds all heals also. But you know what? Time doesn't heal wounds. God heals wounds. You know, if there's a scar on your body and it's still not an open wound, guess who healed that? God did. Anytime healing takes place, it's God that does it. But do you know how God heals our wounds? The Bible says not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. It says, by his wounds, by his stripes, you are healed. Somehow, the wounds of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, brings about our healing, both spiritually and physically, I believe. Here's a trivia question for you. Ask somebody at the office this tomorrow. What is the only man-made thing in heaven? What is the only man-made thing in heaven? And the answer to that question? The scars on the hands and feet and side of Jesus. Made by those Roman soldiers, those are the only man-made things in heaven, because the Bible says after the resurrection, Christ still had the nail prints in his hands. Don't you remember he appeared on that first Easter evening to the disciples in an upper room without Thomas? And he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And then Jesus disappeared. And then Thomas shows up and they said, hey, Thomas, Jesus was here. He said, I doubt it. I will not believe it until I can stick my fingers in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand in the hole in his side. 1 week later, poof, Jesus appeared again and said, hey, Thomas, here you go. He knew what he'd said. Here it is. Go ahead. And you know what Thomas did? He fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. I mean, those wounds are testimonies to us today of how Jesus can heal our wounds. You know, I grew up in South Alabama where there were alligators everywhere. I mean, we just grew up with them. And, you know, if you're from Florida, in Florida they average about 12 alligator attacks a year on people. I was reading not long ago about a true story out of Fort Myers, Florida, how a mother was out near a little lake with her son, and a gator grabbed her son on the bank and was dragging it in, dragging her son in. And she rushed there and she grabbed hold of the arms of her little boy, and the gator had him by the legs and she had him by the arms, and they engaged in a tug of war of life for her little boy. And eventually, she screamed for help, and somebody had a gun in their pickup truck and shot the gator, and it let go. And she rescued her little boy. But his legs were terribly scarred and wounded, and he was in the hospital. And a reporter came to talk to him, and the reporter said, "Do you mind if I look at the scars on your legs?" And the little boy pulled the covers down and showed him the scars that the gator had left. But then the little boy said something special. He said, "You know what? There's some other scars that I want to show you too." And the reporter said, "What are they?" He said, "Look at my arms. These are the scars from my mother's fingernails. Because she wouldn't let go of me." And I thought, wow, I bet he does cherish those scars. And as I heard that story, I couldn't help but think, you know what? The devil is like that old prehistoric alligator. He wants to drag us down, kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came, and those nail-pierced hands grabbed hold of us, and he was engaged in a tug of war for our souls, and guess who won? The Lord Jesus. We've been rescued by those nail-pierced hands, and he says, "I'm never going to let go of you." In fact, one of my favorite songs by 10th Avenue North is "By Your Side," and there's some lyrics that say this: "Look at these hands at my side. They swallowed the grave on that night when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in and give you life." And I love the chorus that says this: "And I'll be at your side whenever you fall, in the dead of night whenever you call. And feet, please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you." Hey, Paul, tell us about those scars. They tell a story. Dad, tell me about that scar on your back. It tells a story. But the greatest scars are the scars of Jesus Christ in his hands that he endured as he died so that we could have eternal life. Every scar has a story, but that's the greatest story of all. Father, I do thank you that the most precious scars in the universe are the scars in the hands and feet and side of Jesus. And we know that every scar has a story, but that is the greatest story we've ever heard. And Lord, we know that it has transformed our lives. And if there's anyone here today that needs to receive your salvation, I pray this will be the day that they say yes to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.